Well, 1 year ago, last December, we began a study of John's Gospel. And who could have imagined what a year it would be? If each of us were given opportunity, we could recount how uniquely difficult and painful and heart-wrenching parts of this year have been to us, to others we know, and actually to the entire world that we live in. Over the past several weeks, there's been a common refrain I keep hearing from people I talk to, and that is how glad they will be that 2020 is going to end and be behind us, and we're going to begin a new year. And we all understand that refrain, even without knowing each other's personal stories, don't we? But if you've been with us for any part of our study through John's Gospel on the person and work of Jesus, or you already know Jesus personally in your heart through faith and through the Word of God and Holy Spirit, there's another refrain you can sing. It's the refrain, this is the same refrain with which John introduced his Gospel. And it is this: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What a better refrain. What a wonderful refrain. Think with me for just a moment as we go back to the beginning. What makes Jesus so glorious to come to know? Well, first is the fact that as the only Son of God, He shines as light coming into the world like nothing else. He shines into whatever darkness we experience in this life, and He's actually able to give life and light that last and that will never be overcome by the darkness. Whether it's darkness out there or it's darkness that we've experienced in here. So whether it be the darkness of our separation from God and not being in fellowship with Him naturally because of sin in us and in the world, or all the things which flow out of that separation, like the darkness of illness and death caused by a pandemic or other health problems, or the darkness of each other's sins and imperfections, which have touched us so deeply and which have come to light in many people's eyes, and how they affect our ability to get along and treat each other as we should, or the darkness which comes from the sins and imperfections of different levels of authority and leadership and government and them ruling over us. He shines above the darkness and destruction which all of these things have brought into our lives, and is able to give us light and life in the midst of them that will never end. How's He able to do that? Because He's full of grace. He's full of grace to give to sinful and hurting and broken human beings, or as it sometimes says, to those bruised and broken by the fall. You know, the bruising, the brokenness that we are so familiar with the longer we live in this world, this fallen world. This grace is God's mercy and deliverance, even though we don't deserve it. Think back through some of the highlights of John's Gospel. We saw grace and mercy to the wedding party who had run out of wine. A lot of people don't really, okay, they ran out of wine. But He provided better wine. He showed Himself to be the Lord of the feast. He showed Himself actually to be the one who would come and love His bride perfectly forever and be actually the new wine in the sense of the new wine of the new covenant through Jesus Christ. We saw His grace and mercy to 5,000 who are out in a wilderness area after they had followed to listen to Jesus and had nothing to eat. And 5,000 men plus women and children, countless number that we know of, were fed. And their most basic needs were met. We saw grace and mercy to the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery who were living immoral lives and the brokenness that flowed out of that immorality. We saw grace and mercy to the lame man at the pool of Siloam and to the ruler's son who was ill and at the point of death. We saw grace and mercy to the man born blind. And of course, we saw grace and mercy to Lazarus, who had already died. We even saw grace and mercy to Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who were members of the 70-member ruling council known as the Sanhedrin, who as a body were opposing Christ, the one they were supposed to be able to recognize, the one that they preached and taught about, and yet they ultimately put to death. As we think about the grace and mercy of Jesus to this broken world, we've all been participants in deeds of darkness that have contributed to the spread of destruction and death in the world. Yet no matter how great our sin, there's mercy and forgiveness and therefore life to be found in coming to Jesus to take away our guilt and what it deserves. Life is to be found not only there in that way, but also life is to be found and to give to others in living in light of knowing Jesus and all that He has done and all that He commands, which is good and right and blesses and leads to life. How is all that possible? Because Jesus is not only full of grace. You remember the last part of the verse? He's full of truth. Not only was every word of Jesus true, every action of Jesus was true, and everything about His very being is perfectly true. You ever thought about it that way? There's not a hint of darkness in Him. He is perfect and therefore holy in every way, causing Him to stand out from every other being in this world. When He came to the earth, every word that He spoke came from the Father and was the truth, which is why He's called, and appropriately so, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the one who makes the Father known to us. He came so that we might know God, and in knowing Him, we do know God. Every action that He took was true and right and therefore fulfilled God's law perfectly in our place for us lawbreakers who can't begin to fulfill the commands of God because of how broken we are. And He did all that so that the life He lived might not just give us a better life from knowing some truth, but eternal life from having our sins forgiven and being reconciled to God, which comes about from Him overcoming the consequences, the penalty of our sin, of course, which is death. You know, I didn't get a chance to get out and see the Bethlehem Star this week. I talked to one of my sisters down on the coast, and they got to see it a little bit the other night. The star, which many believe to have guided the wise men that we read about tonight. But you know, if you've come to see something of the glory of Jesus, then you've seen the true Bethlehem star. This shines much brighter than a star in the sky, because we've come to see God's glory, God's grace, and God's truth in the very person and work of His Son. And His glory far surpasses any darkness or destruction or death that you've experienced this year or you will ever experience. You know, we've been going through Paul Tripp's devotional book, New Morning Mercies, this year. And if you're not familiar with what we've been doing, there's copies that are available out on the table. Take one with you tonight and be blessed by it. But I thought it was really interesting as I was preparing for tonight that it was just right in line with going back to John chapter 1. And this is what Paul David Tripp wrote after quoting the first 18 verses of John, which is sometimes called his prologue. The title for tonight, for that this devotional, is Jesus Willingly Entered the Darkness So That We Could Live in the Light of His Presence Forever. And then he wrote this: the Christmas story really is a light story. No, not the lights that decorate the city where you live, the lights that you have carefully hung on the tree in your living room, or the candles that you've placed in your windows. Now, this story is about the light coming into a world that had been sadly cast into darkness. Under the burden of the shroud of rebellion and sin, the world had become a dark place. In the darkness of immorality, injustice, violence, greed, self-righteousness, thievery, racism, and a host of other ills, the world was desperate for light. Everyone was part of the problem, and everyone suffered from the problem, but no one could solve the problem. You feel that? God's solution was the only way. He sent the one who is light to be the light that would light the world by His grace. He came into the darkness so that we could know light and life forever. Here's the Christmas story. Only light can defeat the darkness. And light has come. Isn't that glorious? Isn't it glorious to know? To know the Lord Jesus? To see His glory as the only Son from the Father? To experience that He is full of grace for you and me, broken sinners, bruised and beaten up by the fall, and that He's full of truth. In fact, He said, I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father. The only way through to the Father is through me, because He's the only one that can reconcile. He's the only one that has perfectly fulfilled God's commands in our place. He's the only one who's overcome death. He's the one who's reigning now at the right hand of the Father, who makes us acceptable, who has brought true and lasting peace between sinful man and holy God. There is no greater light. There is no greater truth. There is no greater joy than to know Jesus Christ. You remember what He said and John said in chapter 17? This is eternal life, that you may know the Father, and you may know the Father who sent me, that you may know. It's through knowing Jesus that we know the Father. That's eternal life. And that's what's so amazing. Many people mistake Christianity as if Christianity is just all about when you die, you get to heaven. You get to go to heaven. And there's everlasting life that way. No, that life, that everlasting life, it begins the moment you come to know who Jesus really is and trust in Him, do you not? You have a new life right now. You experience life right now, and it just gets better. Because you come to know Him better, and you come to know the life that comes from knowing the Lord Jesus and knowing His grace and knowing His truth. And it just leads to more blessing that starts here and goes out there and affects every part of our life, every relationship. And even though this side of heaven, it's still rocky, it's still broken, right? It's still very imperfect. Oh, but it's a change. Oh, it's glorious. We begin to recognize and see things that we've not understand. The Scriptures come to life within us. We become to understand more of God's commandments and how they're good and how they're gracious and how all of God's Word is given to us to bring glory to God and to bring good to His creation and to His people. And so tonight, as we come to celebrate Christmas, make sure you're celebrating the Christ of Christmas. John said, I write these things so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God, so that you may know that He is the Christ. And by believing, you may have life in His name. Amen. The Lord bless you as you worship Him, as you trust in Him, as you celebrate Him, as you acknowledge and look to Him as the light of life. Amen. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus, for sending Him into this dark world, into this broken world, into this world where there's so much confusion, there's so much harm that's done to one another, there's so much struggles and strife, there's so many struggles with illness, and of course we all face death, physical death one day. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came to overcome all of it. And we know that You overcame all of it because You not only came and You lived and lived perfectly, but You died and You rose again and You ascended to heaven and You live now and forevermore. Lord God, I pray that You would fill each of our hearts. You would shine into our hearts. Open our hearts, Lord, to recognize who You are. That You are the only one who can defeat the darkness. You're the only one who can give everlasting life. And so bless us as individuals, as families, as a church, and wherever, Lord, Your Word is being made known. Lord, bless Your Word and cause by Your Word and Spirit light and life to grow and to touch and to heal and to bless, we pray. In Your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.